What is with the pollen? A yellow paste seems to have descended on the region. It's causing watery eyes, itchy noses, even some people opting to keep their masks on outdoors until it's over. Well, we are going to talk about why this pollen season seems worse than usual and what we can expect from seasonal allergies now and in the years ahead. Join us. Call in. Is your hay fever going wire? Are you having trouble keeping anything clean inside or out? 1-800-423-8255 is the number. 1-800-423-TALK. So joining us first, WBUR meteorologist Dave Epstein, who's also the horticulturalist behind the website growingwisdom.com. Welcome back, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Also with us, Dr. Ari Bernstein, the interim director at the Center for Climate Health and the Global Environment at Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. He's also a pediatrician at Boston Children's Hospital and an assistant professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Bernstein, welcome to you too.
Great to be here.
All right, so Dale, I just want to start with quantity here. Pollen amounts, is it worse this year or is it just feeling like it?
It is worse, but it's not that it's worse for any other reason, mostly because of the lack of rain. So today is day 14 without any real measurable rain around the area. And when pollen is released from the trees, it goes into the atmosphere. Rain cleanses the atmosphere. You don't have rain, we don't get the atmosphere cleansed. So that's been one of the problems. It's just been a very dry spring. And we did have a little bit of wet weather at the beginning of the month, but it's really dried out since then.
Okay, and so does that mean that the amount of pollen every year essentially holds steady, but we feel it more when it doesn't get washed away?
Well, you're going to have pollen increasing year over year for a couple of different reasons. One is that trees just get bigger. So the tree pollen, especially a bigger tree, is going to release more pollen. Also, as the climate has warmed up and we have more CO2 in the atmosphere, plants use CO2. It's kind of like plant food. So there is research showing that as the CO2 numbers are increasing, some of our plants are increasing the amount of pollen they're putting out. So the pollen numbers are increasing. And the lastly is that as we have frost ending earlier and coming in later during the course of the season, the pollen season itself has increased. So we're getting the pollen a little bit earlier because spring is starting earlier.
So listeners, I want your pollen stories. Are you finding it in unexpected places? Are you having allergies you haven't had before? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Dr. Bernstein, pollen must be like a big part of your world. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it is. Both at home and at work. I have children who are pretty sensitive to pollen. And when I work at Children's, we certainly see a lot of children who have watery eyes, runny noses, in some cases, difficulty breathing because there's a lot of pollen in the air.
And so we just heard Dave talk about the fact that we're feeling it more because of less rain. It raises the question of climate. That's something that you consider. Can you talk about that relationship, climate change, and what we're seeing this year with pollen and maybe what we will see in subsequent years?
Sure. It's important to remember that when we talk about climate, we're not talking about year-to-year differences. We're talking about differences that happen over many decades. And what we know is that in many parts of the United States, including the northern parts, like where Boston is, the pollen season is almost 3 weeks longer than it was just 30 years ago. And there's about 20% more pollen being produced than there was 30 years ago. The amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, there have been studies, as Dave alluded to, if we essentially double the amount of carbon dioxide that was in the atmosphere before the Industrial Revolution, a ragweed plant, and there are a lot of people allergic to ragweed pollen, will gladly put out, 50% or more pollen. So it's a big part of the long-term trend. It's also important to remember that in cities like Boston, it's warmer than surrounding areas, and we in fact have our own local little mini CO2 dome. There's so much fossil fuel burned in cities that there's a local increase in CO2 concentrations. Carbon dioxide concentration. So these effects of both warming and more carbon dioxide are acutely felt in cities.
So Dave Epstein, I'm going to come back to you and I'm going to shift gears for a minute. We've been talking about climate change here and the concerns there. We've been talking about allergies and mess. But you're, as a horticulturalist, is there anything good from, you know, the growing quantities of pollen? Obviously, the lack of rainfall, probably not good. But I'm looking for some silver in this yellow lining that we're experiencing right now.
Yeah, well, first of all, a lot of the yellow that we're seeing is actually the pine pollen. And interestingly enough, the pine pollen is a very large pollen. That's why you see it. But it's not as much of an allergen for most people. So the pollens that we don't see are actually more of an allergen than the pollen that we do. But I mean, from my standpoint as a gardener, you know, that I'm enjoying gardening more than I would have if it was a colder climate. So the positive is you are able to get outside longer. We can stay outside longer in the fall. We can get outside earlier in the spring. I think the other reason why perhaps people are noticing pollen more this year is because folks are outside. If you think about the way that people were working pre-pandemic, you would get up, you'd be in your house, controlled environment, your car, controlled environment, office, controlled environment, back to your house. Now, middle of the day, you've got a little break, you go outside, you take a walk, you're probably exposed to more fresh air than you would have been pre-pandemic.
So let's take a couple calls here. We've got Janet on the line in Martha's Vineyard. Janet, go ahead.
Well, I'm having a very early allergic reaction about a month or 6 weeks earlier than I usually get. It started in March. I know what I'm allergic to. I'm allergic to oak trees, and I have about 300 of them on my property. And right now they're just exuding pollen. It's everywhere, on the car, on just every surface you can imagine. And my horse has allergies also, so we're both on medication. But it seems worse this year.
I appreciate the call, Janet, and I love the solidarity between you and your horse. I'm sorry that it's sneezy, too. I'm going to pick up another call here. We've got Liz in Watertown. Liz, go ahead.
Hi, yeah, thank you for taking my call. I'm a public school teacher, and I actually had a parent email me like back in February saying, you know, my kid has really bad allergies, and we're already thinking ahead to having to tell the difference between allergy symptoms and COVID symptoms. And I sent it along to our school nurse and said, what do you want me to tell this parent? And she said, good question. We'll think about it. But it's kind of, it's been a pretty tricky thing to do.
It's a great point, Dr. Bernstein. You know, runny nose, coughing, maybe some asthma. There's some overlap there with COVID symptoms. Has that been a complicating factor just in helping people figure out what's going on with themselves and how to treat it? You know, just reflect on that a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of parents have had that concern. And I think the short answer is when in doubt, test. Fortunately, now we have a lot of access for testing. You know, in children, COVID tends to be milder. And so often we don't see the sort of, you know, allergy symptoms, the runny nose and cough necessarily. If a child has particularly itchy eyes, that tends to be pretty clearly allergic. You know, if there's a runny nose and cough, that can be a little more vague. But again, in children, we often are likely to see, you know, gastrointestinal symptoms, you know, diarrhea, vomiting. And so I think if there are symptoms of concern, I would strongly encourage testing, especially since for, you know, younger children right now, we don't have a vaccine that's usable. Hopefully that'll be present soon.
So Dave Epstein, over the years in talking with you, you've made me much more aware of zones when it comes to both weather and gardening. And I wonder, I don't know if zonal is really a word in this context, but is there something zonal going on here as well with a certain intensity because of the kind of plants and the growing seasons that we have here?
Well, I think what Dr. Bernstein alluded to was the fact that our pollen season is increasing as our zones change. So plant zones, for those folks who aren't familiar, they run over the course of New England roughly from zone 4 down to zone 7. And the colder zones are the lower numbers, the warmer zones are the higher numbers. So the Cape is zone 7. But that zone 7 is pushing not only into Boston, but eventually will push a little bit further north. We'll get into Metro West, the southwest suburbs. I suspect within the next decade, we're going to start to see zone 7 across portions of Cape Ann. And that means that the pollen season will change as that zone changes. Also across New England, interestingly enough, if you are down here this time of the year and you just got over your pollen season and then you head north into northern New England, you're going to go up into, I know this because I went up to Maine last weekend and the stuff I'm allergic to is now coming out there. So I had to endure it again after having endured it all the way down here the previous couple of weeks.
So it's going to travel ahead to you of you into your vacation zone, right? And you get to visit it all over again.
Exactly.
That is not very encouraging. All right, let's go back to the phones, 800-423-8255. Amy's actually calling from Nova Scotia. Amy, go ahead.
Hi there. I was just wondering about the connection with childhood allergies into adult allergies. And I asked because both my sister and I had severe allergy as kids, moved out of our hometown, and both in the past 5 years or so moved back. And the allergies that we thought we had outgrown are now back with a vengeance. And we were both kind of wondering what was going on with that.
Dr. Bernstein, what is going on with that?
Well, it's not entirely surprising. You know, there are a lot of factors throughout the lifespan that can bring back allergies. One of them is pregnancy. And even people who, you know, have lived in various parts of the country may have allergies come and go. You know, we often misattribute allergies as well. So we'll think we're allergic to one thing and an allergy test might tell us we're allergic to one thing, but in fact, it might be something else that's similar. And so sometimes we run into situations where we're actually thinking we're allergic to the same thing, but it might be two different things at different times. So it can be hard to sort of get to a root cause, but nonetheless, that story is not unfamiliar to me. And I'm not sure there's much we know right now that would have said, boy, if you had done something differently years ago, you would have been in a different place today in terms of the allergy.
Dave Epstein, can people plant differently in their own gardens to help reduce allergies, or is it just too meta? You know, there's nothing you can do in your own little space, in your window box, or if you have a yard in your yard.
I would say that it is a little bit meta, right? Like the tree, it's blowing through the air, so it's a little bit hard to do that. I would say that if you had an area where you had ragweed in your yard, that, you know, you want to get that out, because that is definitely, if you're allergic to it and that allergen is very close to you and you're working around there, then yes, get that out. Or if you have a particular tree in your yard that you know you're definitely allergic to, you might want to try to avoid being there. But the stuff's floating through the air and it's moving from place to place. So it's pretty hard to create a little pollen bubble around your own yard.
Dr. Bernstein, when does it end? Is there a, you know, can we get relief in mid-June or something? When does this end?
Well, it depends on what you're allergic to. You know, as Dave Epstein alluded to, you know, right now there's a lot of tree pollen. We'll see some grass pollen probably later, and then we'll see probably molds or maybe a little earlier. So depending on what your allergy is, we see, you know, allergies start early in the spring or sometimes later in the summer. And, you know, it turns out that, you know, things that grow, particularly in the warmer months, produce things that, you know, people are allergic to. So getting to know the allergy season, where your sensitivities are, can be helpful in trying to make a plan to manage your, you know, exposure to the allergen and make sure that you have medications that can help you cope.
And Dave Epstein, you know, in a sentence or two, any point in trying to clean up this yellow powder?
Not really. I mean, it's pine pollen for the most part. And I would say, you know, just try to keep your windows closed if you don't want it on your furniture. But in another couple of weeks, it'll stop coming out and we'll be able to hopefully get some rain to wash it away. That's going to be the real key, is when does it rain again?
All right. So that is Dave Epstein, WBUR meteorologist, also the horticulturist behind the website growingwisdom.com, and Dr. Ari Bernstein, interim director of the Center for Climate Health and the Global Environment at Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Thanks so much to both of you for telling us what is going on with this pollen.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.